keep them up? Okay, we're going to keep them up. Yeah, everybody needs to hear about hell.
Well, I'm so grateful for this church. I really am. Can you hear me? Thank God for the work you put in. And thank God for the pastor's vision. Real place as much as Hoopston is a real place. And Lord, sometimes we don't think about the fact that this place that I'm preaching about exists literally. And I pray, dear God, that you would use the message in a way that we would take a trip to this place with the tour guide, Jesus. And Lord, show us the sights. Would you ask God right now to take you on a trip to hell and show you the sights? Ask Jesus to do that right now. And would you pray that as a result of the trip that you would get on fire? And just say, dear God, take every word that's spoken from our Savior, who always tells us the truth. And Lord, we believe that the place we're going to now is a truth that Jesus talked about more than he did anything else. And so I pray that I would do it justice to just let Jesus take us on the trip. I pray you would revive our hearts. I pray that somehow the folks that missed it because of snow would somehow be able to get this on tape and hear it, and that it would go all over the country. That something would happen this morning that would register about this place and cause unbelievable fire to come down in our hearts and stir us, not just stir us, but make us really see this place. Lord, I pray that the folks would be able to erase everything out of their minds that might be there that would snatch the seed away from them. And I pray that we'd be able to ask you for a spirit that would just put an absolute conviction and hush over us. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles, if you would. You can be seated. Open your Bibles to Jude. I guess the one question people ask me more than any other question, and I thank God again for your pastor and his heart, they ask probably this question more than any question that I've ever heard, is why do you play 50 to 60 games some weeks? May I announce to you, it's not volleyball. A guy would be crazy to play this much volleyball. In a 7-week period recently, I had 275 games, not for volleyball. But because of this place that we're going to take a trip to. But if you look at Jude verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And it describes these mockers as those who separate themselves. That means they separate themselves from anything that's spirit, right? They're sensual, having not the spirit. But ye beloved, if you're saved now, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference. Everybody say this loud. Compassion makes a difference. You know what that means? It makes a difference even in a mocker, because he just described mockers. And love and compassion makes a difference, even in a mocker. Now, are there mockers around? I would say there are. When homosexuals are singing Silent Night, Homo Night, instead of Silent Night, Holy Night, I would say there are mockers around. But compassion can make a difference. How many believe God's love can make a difference? They told me, don't go to this school. They'll throw knives at you. Not spitballs. I went to the school, and literally there were punkers there with every hair going every which way and dark makeup, and it was just unreal. And I thought of that verse, compassion makes a difference. And I said, Lord, what does compassion make? Because I want to make a difference in this school. Compassion means with passion. And all of a sudden it hit me. If God can really love these people, it will make a difference. And maybe they see the love just come out. Now, when I'm in the school, I always say, Britney Spears, back then I used it, now I use Lady Gaga, will sing all her X-rated songs. But when you get pregnant or get AIDS or get some disease, she'll be swimming in a heart-shaped swimming pool while you're dying, and I don't want to see you dead. And I mean the whole place gets silent. One principal said, how did you do that? In this school where they had all the punkers, all the rejected students from the whole area, 700 of them under one roof, the principal said, how did you get them so quiet? I thought of the verse, compassion makes a difference. That night a whole volleyball team got saved. And I thought of that verse, compassion makes a what, everybody? A difference. And that then a year later, a girl came to me. She said, remember when you came to my school? I said, I couldn't possibly forget it. She said, we had a Bible club that was a half a classroom big that grew to four classrooms big after the assembly was over. And I said, compassion makes a difference. And so if I love people, it will make a difference. Have you ever heard somebody say, don't love me so much? You've never heard that. Love makes a difference. I sensed it in the schools. These young people were craving somebody to care. People just need love like they've never needed it. And if we love people, we're going to tell them the truth. How many of you believe love tells the truth? Jesus was a truth teller. In fact, he was the way, the truth, the life. And so he loved people. And then he says in the next part of the verse, right after he says compassion makes a difference, he says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. If we love people, we're going to pull them out of the fire. Hating in the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, pulling them out of the fire, let me say this. There is a real place that has fire called, we refer to it as hell. The Bible calls it a lake of fire. The Bible says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Lord shows us right now, as he takes us on this trip, that one of the sights of hell is this. The whole body gets cast there. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. For it is profitable that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So he says, rip your eye out and cast it from you. Or take your hand and cut it off. If something is keeping you from Christ, you're better off to cut your hand off and cast it away from you than to end up where the whole body is cast into hell. Wow. Then he says, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Now, we prayed for God to take us to this place. We asked Jesus to take us to the lake of fire. And I'm going to tell you real honestly, what keeps me going on the court is, wow, I just saw that, is that place. Now, the love of God is what motivates us more than the fact that people go there, and we want love of God to get to people's hearts. But Jesus, who loves sinners, for God so loved the world, how many believe Jesus does have a love that no one else has? But you know, when you have that kind of love, you're going to preach more on this place than any other subject. Jesus, the tour guide, says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, let me show you how we read this verse many times. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we minimize the should not perish because we're in a world that says, I don't like hellfire damnation preachers. Well, just say, I don't like how Jesus preached. Because he preached on hell 162 times. Everybody say that back. How many times? So when you hear somebody say they don't like hellfire preachers, what you ought to say is you don't like Christ-like preachers. And when Joel Osteen got on national television and said on a talk show, I don't preach on hell or judgment, and has 60,000 people in a church service on Sunday and has books in Walmart all over the world, I would say this. Somebody ought to say to Joel Osteen, if there's a hell, we have to preach on it. We cannot hide it from people. If we hide it from people, we are hating people and loving money because we want bigger offerings. How many of you believe getting people out of hell is more important than a big offering? And if this place is real, God help us not to hide it from people. I know the devil's trying to hide this from people because every time I've preached it, I preached it at Crown College, where Dr. Clarence Sexton pastors, my home church. Almost all the Bible college students came forward, and they cannot find that message to get it on the internet. They can't find it. It disappeared. And it's not there. It should be, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I will punish the world for the evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Now, when I go through the haughtiness of people over the last several years, I was shocked to find out what songs made top on the charts. Harder Than Hell, Citizen of Hell, Go to Hell, Highway to Hell, Burn in Hell, Hell Patrol, Aloha from Hell, Condemned to Hell, Gonna Raise Hell. And I saw those songs and I realized that they were not sung by somebody who took the tour with the tour guide, Jesus, to the real place. They made it sound like a party. There's some people right now working on an event like I had scheduled a few years ago when Obama was in, to go to the White House and play on the White House lawn and entertain the White House. Now my partner, Ben Graham, who's a pastor of a Baptist church from Nashville, goes every week to the White House. He says there's prayer meetings going on and worship music at the White House, and they want to see revival in America. And I believe God can still bring it in a dark day. How many of you believe our God can still bring a revival? But let me tell you this, and I would say it in love. I would not say it with a condemning spirit. I would say it in love. How many of you believe that hell is not just something to emphasize in a speech? How many of you believe hell is a real place? Now, if hell is a real place, we shouldn't cheapen it by using the word to emphasize things in a speech, and we know a lot are doing it. But you know what? When somebody gets up and uses the word hell, I'm going to say it when I'm there. If God opens the door, I'm going to say, if this place is real, God help us to take a trip there with the tour guide. And all of a sudden now that word hell is not going to be something to emphasize a point on this earth. Unless we're talking about the real place. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, listen to this, was cast into the lake of fire. Everybody say lake of fire. What does this mean? When you're in a lake, it surrounds you. That is not on the tip of your finger. And I ask the Lord, dear God, as I'm preaching on this, help me not to say one thing funny. So I go into school, and I see the kids on the bleachers, and I see them hanging over a lake of flames, ready to fall in, and all of a sudden, God gives me the strength for the next game. I honestly believe when you get so passionate as your pastor was to make this work, God used him in a supernatural way. And I honestly believe God is supernatural. That means above the natural. When you get a burden and a passion, God will use you in a way you never dreamed. One seventh grader came to an accident, and a man was crushed under a vehicle and was screaming for help, and somehow that seventh grader was able to lift the car while somebody pushed him out.
If we really believe that hell is real, we're not going to say, I'm too shy to witness. Because if you came to a doorstep and some older lady, 95 years old, had no strength, my husband has fainted in the doorway from smoke inhalation, and the flames are getting closer. Would somebody please help? Well, I'm a little shy to go over there and pull him away from it.
I don't think we'd say that, would we? But this place called hell is forever and ever and ever. It's a lake of fire. Lakes surround you, which means this.
I believe when people get there, they may probably cry out, where's the shore? But there's no shoreline. There's no sandy beach to get out of there. The lake of fire is all around. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. All right, Jesus, show us the sights. Torment. Lake of fire. Wow. One pastor said, my people are so consumed with just this world and that they can't get a vision for souls. Let me tell you something. If this place is real, God help us not to park on this earth, but do all we can to get the gospel light out there, right? Well, I want you to think about this. Fear not them which kill the body. Listen to that again. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And I said, wow, what a sight that is. What God is saying is, Holmes, you better not fear what people have done to the body and what they might do to people as much as you fear a God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. In the Inquisition, they would put people in an Iron Maiden, which was a cow and made out of metal, and they would put a man inside of it, and they would slowly burn it. For 3 days, that person would die. You say, what a horrible thing to do to somebody. But fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Well, here's another group of people that decided to put honey all over a body and have insects eat a person till they died 7 days later. But fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I mean, we could go through many things. If you get tortured for Christ, it's a book. I mean, it's unbelievable what people have done to people's bodies. But I got news for you. Nothing is as bad as hell. There's not a thing compared to it. Shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You go to somebody who is a burn victim, and their teeth will gnash together. And the weeping and gnashing of teeth, that is forever. Can you imagine this? Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Everybody say everlasting. What's that mean? Everlasting. Can you imagine this?
Now, it would be an amazing thing if somebody came through that back door with guns. Is this being taped?
If you're up there,
it is. Is there any mic I can hold? This one here, maybe? There's a mic here with a cord. Would that work?
You can try it.
Because I don't want the tape to miss this. If you have another one, yeah, this is all kind of tied up. But I want you to picture this for a minute. And this may seem like you think I'm using some kind of a fear tactic when I say this, but I'm not. Oh, yes, I am. Pardon me. We're to fear God.
But I want you to think about this for a minute. You can turn this down just a hair because it's a little bit of a ring there. But I want you to picture this with me. We all raised our hand and we said we believe this place is as real as Hoopston. Am I saying this town right? Hoopston. And do you know that when somebody goes to a fire forever, there is no escape at all? What did we say about a lake of fire? It is all around the person. All right, so somebody comes in the back door with some guns, and they set up here a life-size human rotisserie. And they decide to put your pastor on that rotisserie. And you know they're going to light the flames underneath before they start rotating this thing so it's all around his body. I have a feeling somebody would even risk getting shot and they'd run up to him and try to pull him off that rotisserie. And you wouldn't care if there were bullets being aimed at you. You say, what a horrible thing to have the pastor rotate on a rotisserie. Wait a minute. Hell is a lake of fire. It's surrounding somebody forever. So if you would run up here and do all you can with the possibility of bullets flying at you, I have a feeling we'd have more soul winners in our churches if we really went to this place. Amen! Preach it! Okay, I will. Somebody ought to say amen to that. How many believe we need more soul winners in our churches? Amen. If this place is real, you say, I wouldn't just sit there and say, okay, burn, Pastor. I think we'd try our best to get up there and duck the bullets from the bullets. Just let that sink in for a minute. This place that is everlasting fire, where there is no end, no breathing room, no relief, no comfort, no water, no happiness, no smiles forever, no jokes, no peace, no thrill, no love, no friends, no husbands and wives, no pastor's sermons, no guidance, all darkness, no joy, no good news, no rest, no picnics, no anniversaries, no sight, no friendly conversations, no laughter, no smiles, no singing, no Holy Spirit striving, no parties, no grandparents' prayers anymore, no siblings, no meals, and may I go on for another 3 days on what won't be there? Forever? Forever. And that's why when somebody walked up to me and said, I've been going to this Christian camp, a well-known one that everybody would know the name of, I've gone there my whole life and haven't heard one sermon on hell. Why did a Bible college student come up and say, I've been all through Bible college and 4 years of seminary, haven't heard one chapel speaker ever speak on the lake of fire? I'll tell you why, because people aren't going there with the tour guide. Because if you go there with the tour guide, you can't. I looked at myself in the mirror. Why haven't you preached more over the years on this? Well, maybe because, Holmes, you haven't looked at the sights with the one who brings the sights throughout the Bible. So I started preaching to myself. I'd rather see people smile when I preach. But how many of you believe, let me ask it again, how many believe this place is real? And while we take the tour, we can't possibly smile. General William Booth, founder of Salvation Army, said, if I could put every student studying to preach in hell for a few seconds, it would be the best training for passionate preaching you'd ever see. Take a tour. I'm thinking right now of an accident in front of a ministry where an 18-wheel truck hit a car full of teenagers, and you could watch 30 ambulance drivers using jaws of life to get teenagers' faces off the dashboard. And they were working like so frantically, like every second mattered, because they were standing between life and death. I mean, it was like every second mattered. Why? Every second matters because their faces are stuck there and we've got to release them and get them into the ambulance. And I thought, when those ambulance drivers were learning how to use jaws of life, they probably sat in the classroom and looked at their watch wondering when class was over. They probably were yawning and blowing bubble gum and maybe telling a joke during class. But at the scene of the wreck, there was no bubble gum blowing. There was no joking. Can I ask you a question? Are we at the classroom or are we at the front lines? If we're at the front lines, every second matters. We've got to reach the schools of America. How many believe we've got to get the gospel to America? And God's beginning to open some doors. After I spoke in Washington, I gave 300 leaders this about a year ago in the Ways and Means room. I said, there's got to be a way or a mean to reach these kids. Because they're wondering, how come there's a national epidemic of so many dying? Because all they think they are is an animal. You're just here by accident. Bunch of gases came together. Here you are. And they wonder, why do we have no purpose? How many of you believe God put every person here on this earth? So I'm just going to drift along, commit suicide. One boy had 600 razor blade cuts on his body. There's no meaning and purpose to life. But you know something? Just think about this a minute. When a person goes to a lake of flames forever, that's a lot worse than having your face on a dashboard for a few hours. So help us, Lord, to be like the ambulance drivers at the scene of the wreck. Yes, we need to be in the classroom, and we need to get doctrinally sound and hear teaching, but God help us to take the teachings that are in this Bible and get on the front lines and care about people. We love people. We're a church. You know that one pastor told me that churches are not preaching on reaching lost people anymore, hardly in anywhere, and where they have like thousands of people coming. Isn't it amazing that with all these amazing sized churches, we're not hearing sermons on hell? The guy who did my video was in a church, I forget how many years, and he said, I have not heard a sermon on hell, and we have 5,000 in our church. I don't remember a sermon on this. Now, if we believe this place is real, then Jesus help us to take the tour. So let's look at what he said about this place, hellfire and damnation preaching when he was here on earth. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. In other words, you gave what our bodies wanted. You fed us. And you healed us. And we loved you while you were healing us. But when you said, leave your nets and follow me, they walked away from him. Why? Because they wanted their physical needs met, but they weren't following him as an eternal God who was telling them eternal truths. How many believe Jesus is eternal truth? And they were coming only because he was doing something for them. So let's have a rock concert in the churches, and let's just meet everybody's physical needs, but never preach on sin, never warn about hell, never say a word about repentance. Let's just let everybody live in their sin while we have our rock concert in our church services. Wow. So he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Now listen to this verse as we take another sight of hell with Jesus. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not the gospel, on them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Now listen to this. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And this is shocking. They shall have no rest day or night. What's going to go on forever, Lord?
You have taken us to a site right now. And you said this person who is going to be fully caged in this place and never able to get out is going to be in a place of everlasting punishment. Now, don't miss it. Everlasting punishment. And a place where one screams for mercy forever, where they'll have no rest day or night. It's said that when people go into the burn victims of some hospitals, they have to hang them up so they're in midair because they can't touch the sheets. And while they're hanging in midair, they're still in unbelievable pain, but you can't lay them down because it's unbelievable how bad it can get. And they stay up constantly. There's no sleeping in the hospital room. But can you picture forever and ever and ever, by the time a bird would take one pebble of sand from this earth and bring it to Mars and fly back through space and get one more pebble of sand from the earth and fly it to Mars and come back to the earth again. By the time it got the whole earth to Mars, you wouldn't even be a billionth of a second in this place because it's going to be forever and no end. Wow. This is real. What I'm preaching about is not a joke. And I sense a God who's ready to react because of people and what they're doing now with the gospel, where they don't really care to tell the truth. Well, I don't like hellfire preachers. Well, when you get to heaven, I think you're going to hug the Lord and say, thank you that you warned us. Thank you that you told us the truth. So salvation is not just being saved from depression, anxiety, poverty, drugs, alcohol, suicide. Those are things I speak on in the schools, and I don't want kids ruining their life with all those things. But you know what I don't want more than I don't want anything else is for somebody to burn forever in a lake of fire. So we're not saved just from the depression and disappointments of life. We are saved to escape the damnation of hell. Here are the words that describe hell in one package that are in the Bible from our Savior. Accursed, anguish, blackness, bottomless pit, burned, condemned, cursed, damnation, eternal fire, everlasting fire, flame, fearful, forever, furnace, indignation, judgment, perish, punish, pit, suffer, torment, tribulation, unquenchable, wailing, weeping, wrath, anguish, lake of fire, place of sorrows, place of filthiness, a place where one's breath is a living flame, and where one begs for one drop of water forever. Wow. So I said to the Ways and Means Room, I said, these young people, yeah, a boy wrote me and said, and I didn't know what they'd do. I read this to him. I said, this boy said I was going to hang myself on my birthday a week after your assembly. And he wrote me an email after the assembly. I threw the computer cord away, and I'm still alive. How many believe it's worth it? And then on his birthday, he wrote me a second email, and I read it to the leaders of D.C. on the Drug Coalition and, you know, people like Mitch McConnell and all these. And I said, here's what he wrote. He said this to me in an email on his birthday today. I'm not dead, and I'm not killing myself. Instead, today on my birthday, I ask Jesus to save me. You say, what'd they say to you? You're going to be our number one premier speaker in any school you want to get to in the whole country. Through our addiction policy forum, who have people all over the nation and mayors that are behind the Say No to Drug program. They said, we're going to send your video to 3,700 mayors across the nation. I said, wow. But you know what I was thinking of? When that boy said, I asked Jesus to save me instead of killing myself, I said, wow, he's going to escape all of this place I'm talking about right now forever and ever and ever. And how many believe that's more important than just stopping drugs and alcohol? And I realized this, and I said, this is what it's all about. So what will happen, Lord, when we've taken this trip to this place? When you've been our tour guide, and you've taken us to this horrible place, worse than any place on the earth, Yeah, but you don't know what they've done in this country. They used to have Nero light up the Christians as candles in their gardens and set them on fire. You wouldn't want to go there? What a horrible place that must have been.
But this is eternal. So number one, temporary things won't matter as much. Let me say it again. Temporary things won't matter. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So it won't matter. In about 50 years from now, and some of us 5 years or 10 years, and some of us 70 years, it won't matter whether I took my time feasting on the thickest marinated steak or somehow managed to live off of eating greasy hamburgers. It won't matter if I had my residence in a 3-story plush mansion or slept in a cardboard box under a bridge. It won't matter if I traveled everywhere I wanted to in a stretch limousine or rode in the most beat-up high-mileage car in history. Whether I dined in the most exquisite restaurants anywhere, and I call that Italian place you have in this town, called Monica, is exquisite. It's wonderful. It's delicious. And everybody that's right with God ought to eat there. I love that place. But you know what? Or whether I ate at a greasy hamburger joint, it won't matter. If I had millions of dollars in several bank accounts, or managed to make a few dollars in my pocket, or drove the most wonderful cars in the world. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, so he was soul conscious. When he went to this beautiful city, what did he talk about? Idolatry. He said they're going to end up in hell forever, and he talked about their idolatry. What was his subject? It wasn't the glories of heaven. It was your sin. You men of Athens, I perceive in all things you're superstitious. You're bowing down to an unknown God who you ignorantly worship. His whole message wanted to get them out of a lake of fire, and their idolatry was keeping them from the truth. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's shocking. There was a church. They had 300 visitors on a prayer meeting night. 200 regular church people. How many visitors? 300. I was to play 3 teams and preach. Everybody knew I was going to speak after the 3rd game. It started out with a mile-long submarine sandwich going from one end of the gym to the other. And I ate half of it. That whole mile-long sub, people dug in. Then I was to play 3 teams, and after the 3rd game, I was to what? Preach. How many visitors? How many think the church ought to be burdened on whether those 300 were going to get saved or not? You'll never guess what happened. After the 3rd game, 200 started leaving the gym. The pastor walked up, he said, every person who just left are my church people who are used to getting out of prayer meeting at 8:30 every Wednesday. All the lost are still here. Go ahead and preach to the lost. And then I realized, had those people in that church taken the tour, they would have stayed. Another church had me lined up in 8 schools. 8 schools. I was going to be in front of 8,000 students. Those were big schools. And the pastor told me that they had to cancel. I said, why? He said, because one of our deacons said that we don't want to go forward with this because there'll be too many coming to Christ. We won't have room for them in the Sunday school. Did that really happen? Yeah. How many think we need some more people in our churches taking a tour? Right? So if I really take this tour, I'm going to be soul conscious. I'm going to be temporal. Things won't matter as much. Yeah, we're here and we have to live here. Yeah, I know. And we haven't escaped this earth yet. But how many can't wait till you're in heaven with Jesus forever? But when that happens, you're going to wonder why we put so much emphasis here. I got this email. I was planning my death a few nights ago. Prior to your coming, I cut my wrist twice Tuesday night. However, I'm not the least bit ashamed to say that I will no longer self-mutilate. Because of your message, I'm grateful you came to our school today,
or I'd have gone through with killing myself. All my life, I just wanted to meet somebody who really cared whether I'm alive or would disappear. And you have shown me there's hope in Christ, and staying alive is worth it. All of a sudden now, I read this and I say, wow, I'm happy. All of a sudden I read that and I say, have you ever heard somebody say, I've helped so-and-so so much and forgot my existence that I helped that person, and I'm so depressed because I helped him. I'll get out of the way. Holmes, it won't matter what you want anymore in life. What'll matter is what you're doing to help people, because that's what brings real joy. How many believe helping people brings real joy? Especially getting out of a place out of hell forever. So I have no life when I'm on my own mind. Now, I don't know about you, but everywhere I go, there I am. You say, what's going to keep you away from home? I've got to keep picturing that the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. That this is a faithful saying worthy of acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if he came here to save sinners, how many believe that ought to be objective of every single church? If he came to save sinners and take us on a tour guide, then he wanted to save sinners. I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now they want to get the Hornets and the Panthers to play me. Try to fill up a stadium. You know what? I was there 20 years ago. I brought a message on urgency to reach souls and something similar to this. They had 2,000 on Sunday. I thought, wow, we're going to have about 8,000 at the rally, because everybody's going to bring at least one or two people. A school came for an hour away. 60 kids drove an hour away to come to the rally at the church gym. It was in their own church gym. You see, how many Christians came out with their friends? 30. 30? Out of 2,000? 30. Oh, I know what they did. They said, wow, we'll get people who will come with us like an outing to go to the Globetrotters game, and we'll bring our friends, and we'll even take them out to eat afterwards. What a chance to get our relatives and neighbors out of hell. Is that what the church was thinking? Then when I saw only 30 there, I asked the pastor afterwards. I said, what would have happened if I was playing the Panthers from Charlotte? He said, we would not only have had 2,000 people there, but we would have had all our former church members that have left come in for that event. They would have all been there. But how many believe what should bring people to a thing like this is the fact that we've taken a tour and we want to get people out of hell, not that the Panthers are there? You with me? Have we taken this tour? Have we taken this tour to the Lake of Fire when more money last year was spent on dog food than what was given to churches? Wow. There's a lot more I could say, but I feel like the Spirit of God is now telling me to wrap it up. When I preach, I realize that the eternal soul of people that are listening are going to either be in heaven or hell forever. And if that's the case, and I see somebody getting a little drowsy, I'll do something to wake them up, maybe get a little louder. Why? Because how many of you believe every soul matters? And all of a sudden, there was a man who was an evangelist. Guess what his name was? His name was John Wesley. And he saw a man sleeping during his sermon. And he tried to think of a way to wake the guy up. So guess what he did? He stopped his message and he yelled out, fire! And the guy stood up and woke up out of the blue. And he said, where? He said, in hell for all those who sleep under my preaching. Boy, he got his attention all right. Now, this place is real. It's real. But we ought to love people to the truth. The hymn doesn't say abruptly and harshly, Jesus is calling. It says softly and tenderly. And we pray that many of those last night in the gym are now for going from hell to heaven, and we can now have the opportunity to follow them up. And you know what I believe? If you take this trip to hell, you know what you're going to? You're going to go out of here something. Thank God he gave me one of those slips. Because I could be used of God to maybe help somebody that was on the verge of getting saved, and they will when I come to them. I was in a church in Pennsylvania. They had the rally night in a gym that sat 2,500 people. The church only had about 60 people in it. They by faith, rented this big gym, the biggest high school in the area. How many seats? 2,500. We got to the rally like last night. How many came? They couldn't find a seat for everybody who came. It was packed. When it was over, 900 cards came back folded saying that they had asked Christ to save them. You know what the pastor said to me? He said, "We won't get to every person for a year. It'll take us a year to get to everybody." He said, 6 months later, we got to a home. And they said, "Oh, you were at the one-man volleyball. That guy, yeah, come on in. We want to talk more about his message." They wanted to understand the message better as a family. He said, after we finished talking, the whole family got saved. So we can say, I don't know how many I'll reach, but boy, I'm glad I got somebody that I might be able to snatch away from the flames of hell. So, with that I close, and this I close. When God wanted to save man from its sin, how does he do this? He becomes a baby that cries, Jesus, God in the flesh, born to a teenage mother in the cave on the side of a hill and placed in a cow trough. No palace, no red carpet. He grows up and becomes a carpenter. No fast-track education at Harvard, no cushy desk job, a carpenter, cutting down trees, sawing the wood into planks, and then building things. When he began his ministry, he slept on the sides of the road, no national headquarters, no executive suites. Who would you find, listen close, washing dirty feet, touching a stinking leper, having dinner with a traitor, and welcoming a dirty woman, and ultimately dying the cursed death on a cross, the worst death known to man, alone and rejected? You find the creator of the universe doing that. I brought that statement that I just read you at a college in New York City, right in Manhattan. The gym was packed with university students. And I quoted this about what Jesus did to save people from sin, and there were so many hands for salvation, and somebody walked up, "Did you know we're a Jewish college?" Didn't know it. But how many believe Jesus' name is powerful even in a Jewish college? And he's powerful even in Hoopston last night. How many believe our Savior is powerful? But there is this place called hell. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to now do the hard thing. You know, I heard a message recently at a conference on doing hard things in life. And one of the hard things in a church is to come forward. But I honestly believe if we won't come forward here, we won't go forward in the community. How many of you would say this? The message really spoke to me about this real place called hell, and I want God to use me to help people get out of that place. Would you raise your hand real high? I want God to use me to help people escape the damnation of hell. If your hand is up and you mean it, would you just immediately walk in the front of the church? And by coming up here and standing by Pastor, you're saying, Pastor, I'm joining you in the battle. I want to help people hear the wonderful gospel of Jesus. And I want to be used to help follow up these cards. Even from the extremities of the church, would you come? And would you say, yes, this place is real, and I went there with Jesus today and saw the sights. And because I saw the sights, I would run up there and pull Pastor off of a rotisserie. But what do you do for people that are going to be having a lake of fire surrounding them forever? There's no bullets to dodge here right now. Will you snatch people away from flames forever? I pray God will speak to your heart about the reality of this place. Pastor will close however he feels led to close the service. Thank you, Pastor.
Lord, thank you so much for the response of your people and their desire to help people, Lord, escape this truth, Lord, that you are holy and you will judge sin, Lord. And we thank you that in Christ there is no condemnation, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to redeem the time, not to waste our time on temporary things, but, Lord, to love people.